page 6. No? We should try to perceive everything in the world in connection to Krishna. We should see all jivas as servants and maidservants of Krishna. All gardens and rivers as pleasurable sporting grounds for Krishna. All types of foodstuffs is meant to be offered to Krishna. In all types of aromas, we should perceive the aroma of Mahaprasadam. In the same way, we should see everything related to Krishna and hear only Krishna Katha. When a devotee develops such an outlook, then he will no longer see the objects of the senses separated from Bhagavan himself. Right? So, one is, the idea is that one is not seeing anything separate from Krishna. So, he's giving methods that are connected like directly to the personality of Godhead. So that's your ideal. That's your best. But if not, then as we mentioned, to be able to see Brahman or Paramatma in everything as we look at it, that also works because it's a matter that's connected to the Lord. We become purified by that, and then slowly, slowly, then we'll start to connect things one by one back to Krishna. Right? The tendency to enjoy the happiness obtained from sense gratification intensifies the desire for bhakti and ultimately deviates him from the path of bhakti. On the other hand, by accepting everything in this world as instruments in Krishna's service, the desire for bhakti is completely eradicated from the heart, thus allowing Shuddha bhakti to manifest there. But if we want to enjoy, then that's going to increase the... that's going to increase the desire for enjoyment. Right? So that's the difficulty, is that this aspect of... See, being happy is not the problem. Being happy, not connected to Krishna, that's the problem. Right? This idea, no, we shouldn't enjoy anything. No, it's a matter of, if it's connected to Krishna, naturally, Krishna's happy, you'll be happy. So it's not a problem. Right? The difficulty is we want to enjoy, but we don't see Krishna in that process. Does that make sense? Like you have a good friend, right? Very close friend. Now can you both enjoy? Yeah, you do things so that they're happy, and you're happy, and you're having a good time together. So it's not that only they should be happy and you shouldn't. You should be there and very dull and sober and dry and, you know, whizzled up and everything. You understand? We would say, that's weird. But if it's spiritual life, and we're like that, oh, we say, oh, that's spiritual. Oh, how renounced they are. You understand? So the point is the happiness isn't the problem. The problem is that happiness isn't connected to Krishna. Does it make sense? So if we try to enjoy not connected to Krishna, it will simply increase our desire to enjoy in the material world. So that just overwhelms us and there's no endeavor for spiritual development. Yes?
Let's say more traditional approach is that, like the preachers were described, that the preaching is that you just give up the witness and just serve Krishna.
Give up the?
Those witches.
The witches. Yeah, okay. I mean, if you can do that and just give them up, that's perfect. Why not?
Usually, La Prabhupada said it's not possible to just give them up. So what's the problem if we have the only method of getting rid of the food is this approach.
This approach of?
Trying to just give them up.
But the point is if you just try to give up without replacing with something else, because here he's saying all jivas are servants and maidservants of Krishna. Right? So therefore, for... you're not just giving up, because it's like this. Let us say you see some cooked preparation. And it looks really nice. Right? And then just as you're looking at it, another devotee says, oh, it's not offered yet. What happens? Nothing happens. You keep on thinking, yeah, I want to eat that. Yeah, it means you stop looking at it in that light. Why? Because you've connected it to Krishna. Right? Let us say you see something nice to eat, and it is prasad. And just as about to, you're just about to take some, then somebody says, no, Prabhu, it's a codicil. And then what happens? Just all interest in it just goes away. Why? Because you connected it to Krishna. That's the point. Is that when you connect it to Krishna, then that desire for enjoyment goes away. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is you replace it. Just to, I won't do this, I won't do that. That's nice, it's that you have that determination and all that. But it's only a preliminary stage. The actual thing is being able to see it connected to Krishna in a positive way. Because there it's just, I won't do this because it's not Krishna conscious. Okay, it's not Krishna conscious. That's a fact. But it's still not connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Very indirectly, I'm not doing it because it's not the thing that you do for Krishna. But is one thinking of Krishna just thinking of just, you know what I'm saying? Those ones, oh, I don't do that because it's not Krishna conscious, they're comfortable with it. But the ones that are not comfortable with it, and if anybody else is in, they're always looking at, hey, he this and that was that, and they think it's, oh no, but they did this, you know, like that. So that means that they're not connecting it to Krishna. It's simply a nice thing to do, a pious thing to do. Right? So they've fallen into the trap that Krishna consciousness is piety, as opposed to Krishna consciousness is act devotional. You know, or at best they're getting to spiritual. Which just means it's not material, but it's not devotional. Right? So we've got this idea, as long as it's not material, then it's good. No. As long as it's devotional, it's good. Like that. Does that make sense? That's the...
Therefore, this advancement without connection is very slow.
Advancement without connection is very slow. Yeah, or basically non-existent. But, I mean, you'll get situated, you'll do a little this and that, but basically it's slow. That's why you'll see is, if somebody's very detached and very enthusiastic, they're moving very quickly. But if someone's just detached, they don't move very quickly. You know, he's very renounced. He doesn't, you know, eat anything fancy. He won't do anything for this and that. He won't like that. Very like that. But you come back after 10 years and he'll be exactly the same. You know, come back after 20 years, it's still the same. He still sleeps in the same corner. His office is still in the same place. It looks exactly the same. You know what I'm saying? It's because they're not developing, because they're not doing anything that's against Krishna consciousness, but they're not doing something for Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's indirectly, but the point is it's connected to Krishna. So he's giving these ways how to connect. See everybody as servants and maidservants of Krishna. Right? All gardens and rivers, pleasurable sporting grounds for Krishna. Is where Krishna, you know, passed on these things. And so it just takes it to, that step is there and then it goes into the personal. Like that. But if one can't, there's too much attachment to it. You know, if it's just, oh, this is nice, or that's nice, then you just take it directly. But if not, then you take it, well, no, the energies that work, Krishna's what I'm looking for in it, like that, or Krishna's controlling it, so therefore, what would Krishna want me to do? You know what I'm saying? You're using more intellect. If not, it's just seeing it, you know, what it is, and then just very nicely putting it into. Does that make sense? So it just comes. Because what he's suggesting here is how the residents of the spiritual world see it. They see it like that. You know, there's a nice situation, they just think, oh, Krishna could be here. How to arrange that for Krishna? Does that make sense?
Regarding this point, seeing form, basically, as forms of Lakshmi, all those forms, if they are manifestations of Lakshmi, that they are coming from But Srila Prabhupada also says that we should, for example, see women as sons of Gopis. Is it proper to connect...
What's the difference?
I wanted to ask you, is it proper to connect not sons of Lakshmi, but sons of Radha?
What's the difference?
The other aspect, something like maybe more aspect of Raganuga.
The point is, if you're on that platform, Raganuga, you wouldn't have to ask the question. So therefore, stick to Lakshmi. We understand ultimately it's Radharani and she's expanded, but you put too much there and then because of that enjoying thing, you're connected there. Lakshmi, we don't make that connection. You know what I'm saying? So it's better to... The point is, if we're dealing formally, we are dealing with Lakshmi. Even if it is Radharani, the mood she has to reciprocate with us is Lakshmi. Is that okay? As it is imperative to abandon the desire for bhukti, it is equally important to abandon the desire for mukti. Five kinds of mukti are mentioned in the scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:29-13. A pure devotee does not accept any kind of liberation. Salokya, Sarshti, Samipya, Swarupya, or Ekatva, even though they are offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Salokya Mukti, through Salokya Mukti, one attains a residence from the abode of Bhagavan. To obtain opulence equal to that of Bhagavan is Sarshti. To attain a position in proximity to Bhagavan is called Samipya. To obtain a forearm form like that of Bhagavan is called Swarupya. To attain Sayujya Mukti, merging, is called Ekatva. The Sayujya Mukti is of two types, Brahma Sayujya and Ishwara Sayujya. The cultivation of Brahma Jnana leads one to Brahma Sayujya. By properly observing the Patanjali Yoga system, one attains the liberation Ishwara Sayujya, or merging into the Lord's form. Shuddha Bhakti never resides in the hearts of those who consider Sayujya Mukti to be the ultimate perfection. Right? So in other words, there can be no devotion if one considers merging into either Brahman or the Lord as an option, as a goal. Because it's not going to... Because where's the devotion? Devotion means there's two. There's interaction. If one is merged, there is no scope for interaction. Is that... Right? Yes.
You know that from Sarika it comes to the yoga of Dhyana. And all process is beyond the yoga. So what kind of bhakti or processes basically show the ability to adopt the process for?
Well, let's say for example in Guru Vayu. There, the worship of the deity is established by Shankaracharya himself. I mean, personally, he established that worship. So, basically speaking, everyone in the temple, they're all Shankarites, right? They're all Mayavadis. But they have a very elaborate system of devotional service. Every evening, the deities go out on the elephants around the temple, and they have like a 3-hour program. And they do 3 hours of Harinam Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna. You understand? So they use the process of bhakti to get to mukti. The point is if mukti is seen as your ultimate perfection, that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? So, because the point is in bhakti, someone may just want to get out of the material world. Sometimes your devotees, they're not talking about going to the spiritual world. They'll say, oh, that's not proper. We just want to get out of the material world. So where are you going to go? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So then that's not real devotion.
It's not real devotion, but it doesn't mean that it's not, there's a devotional element. I mean, what I say about Guru Vayur, they're not coming in a devotional line. So there wouldn't necessarily be much devotion. But Lord Shiva is the head, one of the heads of the devotional line. So if they're following because of that, then unseen they're getting some bhakti sukriti. But I wouldn't take it as actual bhakti. But I would take it as bhakti sukriti. Because they're doing devotional activities, unknown devotional activities. They think it's just part of the process of elevation to Brahman. Like that. But, it means you have it there. It means you can have it in everywhere but Vrindavan. But the point is there. It's, I mean, they're all in connection with the Lord, and they're interactive, so they're not a problem. Highest place meaning?
The highest place of Vaikuntha. You can elevate one to Vaikuntha, not to
Golok. Yeah, but I'm saying you could probably even get to Golok, but it's just a matter of what aspect of Golok. You know what I'm saying? Braj means pure, unalloyed, so there's no mix of any of this. Right? So when Rupa Goswami is defining here pure devotion, he means pure, unalloyed. Right? And so, of course, jnana meaning the sayuja mukti, right? And karma meaning anything material, then that will apply to any system of pure devotion. But the pure unalloyed, the one is not even interested in these four kinds of Vaishnav liberation. Like that. Is that okay? But is it the situation we're asking about? These four here be in the same residence as Bhagavan, right? Then attain opulence equal to Bhagavan, right? Or a position in proximity means you're an associate, right? Just, but the proximity is the point. Or the four-arm form. Any of those four discussed interaction with Bhagavan, or only the situation in relationship to Bhagavan. Right? Now when you're praying to Tulsi, the point is in this heart only reside love for Radha and Krishna. That's why I would personally recommend sticking to Achyutananda's translation. I wouldn't bother with Sachinandan Prabhu's translation. The ones that most of, O Tulsi, most beloved of Krishna, I bow before you again and again. The only desire left in me is to serve Radha and Krishna. O dweller of Vrindavan, the wishes of all those who fulfilled and seek your favor, please bestow upon me love for Radha. Please bestow upon me. Resident. So in this way, then this body will be his and not mine. Bless me in this body dwells only love for Radha and Krishna. Understand? So there's the maximum there is being put on the element of that devotion and that assisting others in that process of devotion. Right? Yeah, but if you get into the one and the pleasure grows, Vrindavan and this and that, and then you get distracted. That's the one you guys use. That's not the one we used to use. You know what I'm saying? During the 70s, we used the second one's not wrong, but what I'm saying is one could get distracted from the point of you're simply asking for pure love. That's the point. Because, you know, and the pleasure grows and all that. That's nice, but the point is that if you don't have pure devotion, whose pleasure grows are they? You know what I'm saying? So it's nice, all this kind of element, but unless it's very clear. Why I'm saying this is because otherwise you're bringing up that is talking about Vrindavan, and so it seems like the residence aspect is prominent. I never would have thought that that's the prominent thing. It's mentioned that you can be there so that you can express that. That's what I'm saying. That's why Chirkananda's would be better, would create less confusion than this newer one. The newer one is correct. But Chirkananda was trying to bring out that you catch that right mood so you don't get distracted by all the other elements. You know what I'm saying? Like on the literatures, like when we're reading Nectar Devotion, or we're reading the Krishna book, what does it emphasize in Vrindavan? Service, the relationships, the feelings that the devotees have towards Krishna. Right? Now let's see in Bhagavatam, when it's discussing Vaikuntha, what is it emphasizing? What is it bringing out? No, but I'm just saying when it's describing Vaikuntha, what's it describing?
The opulence,
right? You understand? So on that, but it's on reverence. So therefore, God is so great, He has so much opulence, so the awe is greater, so therefore the mood increases. You understand? Now, these same acharyas, when they write literatures that are more, what we would identify as more intimate, describing the intimacy more, right? So there's more emphasis on those moods, but there's also more description of the place. But the point is you've gone from describing less of the place and more on the devotion, and then to also increasing the amount of description of the place, but also description more of the devotion, the rasa and the exchange. Does that make sense? But the mistake may come is that when they, by looking at these, one starts to get into the place. Because if one didn't catch the devotion in the first explanations, one's not going to catch it in these other ones. Does that make sense? So that's why it's nice stuff. But the point is it's nice, but how much you're getting from it, and how much, let's say you have a very first-class preparation, very subtle and refined, well-made, like that, and you give it to two people. One person who is, you know, a real connoisseur, right? Like that. Can, like that, appreciate fine cooking. And the other you give to, an ordinary person, or maybe he has some potential for that, but he's really sick. You know, fever and all these kind of things, and you give it to him. Now, you're giving him some boiled stuff, and let's eat that. It's okay. And you give him this, how much nicer will it be than the boiled? You understand? Just a very little bit. But now if you give the boils to, and you give the other to the connoisseur, he can see this vast difference. Right? So we may read these scriptures that we will count as Raganuga scriptures and stuff. Nice. And we'll say, oh, it's got so much flavor. But the amount of flavor we're getting is not what those who are on that platform of purity are getting. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the point, is that it's a touch more nice. If it increases one's taste and all that, great. But one should never think that, you know, that puts us... Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that.
So actually, the desire that there are two of these desires for me.
Mukti, I would say it's more bhukti. They're counted in the clarification of bhukti. They want to enjoy the spiritual environment. That's the problem. You know, they want to enjoy the spiritual environment. You know, because it gives more. Oh, I read this because it makes me so happy. They'd say that's there, but then you have to be able to tell the difference between ruchi means a connection with Krishna. It means you're conscious of it, not that I read this, it gives me so much. For the beginning stages, that's okay. You know? But there has to be some commitment to the process. Commitment to the interaction. You know, you do something new, it's new, different, exciting. But if you're going to have that enthusiasm later, you have to be committed to the process, the value of the process, the value of interaction with each aspect of it. Does that make sense? Although these five kinds of liberation are worthy of rejection by the devotees, the four types of Salokya, Sharshti, Samipya, and Sarupya are not completely adverse to bhakti. According to the difference in a particular devotee's eligibility to receive them, these four types of mukti assume two forms. Swasukha Aishwarya, Parankari, that which bestows transcendental happiness and opulence, and Prema Seva Pradankari, that which bestows loving transcendental service unto Bhagavan. Those who reach the Vaikuntha planets through these four types of liberation attain the fruit of transcendental happiness and opulence. Servitors or devotees of the Lord never accept such liberation under any circumstance. And the Prema and the Premi Bhaktis never accept any one of the five varieties of mukti.
Since they have
them. Who? Never accept any one of the five. The premis never accept any of them. But he's saying it's not averse to devotional service. So you can see it in relationship to the opulence of the Lord, or you can see it in that which gives loving service unto the Lord.
Never accept them as a goal.
Yes. Never accept them as a goal. That's there, but it's not what's noticed. You know what I'm saying?
Those devotees even don't notice the liberation of other things.
Who?
You said this.
Who doesn't notice?
Unalloyed devotees
don't notice liberation. Because the point is so what? It's like a situation, big deal. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you go into the temple and, you know, the nice kirtan's going on, the deities are beautiful, very nice association. And then, you know, while you're there and you're really absorbed, and then someone, you know, someone next to you points out, hey, did you notice this is a heritage building? Look at that. That's like, the 1900s, you know, woodwork of the, some group of Christians, you know. They made it by hand. You know, you look at it and go, okay, nice, yeah. And then go back to the kirtan. You understand? Like that. So they're not worried about the facility, who cares? Liberation just means you're not absorbed in the material. So since you're not absorbed in the material, means you're going to be absorbed in the spiritual. Does that make sense?
What about liberation because the body is an impediment?
But you get liberation, but the body is not. But if you don't have the right conscience, what will you do with it? Let us be blunt. Okay? Now, the husbands the yogic Brahmins, they're situated right there. Krishna's standing outside the door. How much good did it do them? Did it do them any good? No. Wasn't until their wives surrendered and became pure unalloyed devotees, and Krishna is already gone, then they kind of figured out, hey, there's something more here. You know what I'm saying? So, just because you're standing right there, you walk into the temple every day, Krishna's standing there, you're in the same planet, same place, and you're close to him. Maybe you don't have four arms or that much opulence, but hey, be right there. But still, one could be thinking of so many things. So the point is the cultivation of the consciousness is what makes it work. Not these. The point is those will come on the side. You don't worry about them. You have to worry about the devotion. Otherwise, it's like this. You're sitting here now, Krishna just walked around the corner now, what would you do? And then? That's the point. So develop the devotion. Then you'd know. So in other words, the mood of the devotees is what's important. Because we're always looking at the situation. Because we say, if I have lots of money, I'll be happy. Or if I have the big mansion, I'll be happy. If I have my own jet, I'll be happy. Or if I have a fancy car, I'll be happy. Or if I have one of those black credit cards that no one even knows what it is, I'll be happy. Or if I have a big position in the country, I'll be happy, or in society. Or, and then what do you do with it? Okay, you got your jet, you got your money, you got your car. Now what? That's the point. No one talks about that. Right? You get out the, you buy the Rexona, deodorant. You spray it on. You walk down the street and 25, 30 professional, women come out of there and follow you down the street. Then what? They don't deal with that in the ad. Then what? What are you going to do? No one would know what to do. They don't discuss it. Right? So therefore, forget it. That's why when it says Narad Muni had 50 apsaras, right? Not from here. Apsaras, completely enthralled and absorbed. That is like, truckloads of piety there. That is piety beyond anything we've ever heard of. So it's not an ordinary thing, otherwise they wouldn't mention it. It would have said, what's his name? He's flying around with Vidyadhara ladies, right? And then he looks at Lord Shiva sitting with Parvati and all the sages who are all renounced, and he laughs because he's thinking, wow, we're both, pure devotees in that and renounced from the world, and I'm flying around in an airplane full of girls, and he's sitting with his wife on his lap, and isn't that kind of funny? Who is that? There's one of the Maharajas in Bhagavatam, right? Like that. He had 10 million wives, but they killed his son. Yeah, Chitakinta. You understand? So, 50 apsaras completely absorbed, and not just one time, just steadily. That's big piety. Why? Because he was Narad Muni. Right? It explains that was Narad Muni. Yes. Yeah, no, we're here till 9. Is that all right? They borrow your umbrella? Got your cheddar around? Or you could, unless that'll work for your daughters or something.
I'm around this time.
Oh. Does that make sense? So the point is that it's what you're going to do with it. So we can see, because what we're doing is intellectually going through it. Well, we could use it for Krishna, but why do we even care that you could use it for Krishna? We can use this dirt here for Krishna. I said, get all this dirt. No, but we can use it for Krishna. It's also getting rid of it's also service to Krishna. So, because intellectually it can be thought, it doesn't mean that it has that much value. So when he says the prema bhaktis never accept any of the five, right? Because it's not that they're not in the situation, right? Uddhava looks just like Krishna. So when he first went to Vrindavan, they thought it was Krishna. Then they figured out it's not. So there are devotees who look exactly like Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So, like that, you have this element, but it's not what's important. Nobody really cares. Like that. Yes. When we get the yoga ladder, okay. Yes, it's the consciousness, because we see as after going through this yoga ladder and elevating oneself and maybe even, you know, freeing oneself from all entanglement, then what does Krishna say? 18th chapter, that's conclusion. What does he say after describing the yoga ladder, all the techniques of getting in there, rooting out everything, then what does he say? Yes, Sarvadharma. The point is it's only consciousness. Anything else that Krishna is opulence. He's non-different from his energies. All his energy is opulence. So, him being opulence, being with opulence, so what? Unless you can interact. Right? And so interaction is based on consciousness. So that's all that's important to Krishna. Now all these other things are methods to get yourself up to there. Now why would you even begin the yoga ladder? That's because you have some consciousness to connect to Krishna. Therefore it pleases Krishna. It pleases Krishna. It's good. Right? But the point is still as the ultimate goal. That can't be. We have goals. You know, we go through. And they may seem to have that material element, but they're not ultimate goals. So that's why he keeps going as an ultimate goal. But when it comes to the Prembhaktis, they don't want any of this. You know, so it's not just clear. So there is this, they may get that, but you have the thing is it's love for the Lord. That's why, but you're accepting the liberation, right? Or you want the liberation, but you'll be in connection with the Lord. You know, so you have both that formal and more spontaneous, even within the Vaikuntha platform. Right? But the Vraja Bhaktas, then they don't want any of this. Yes. Well, that's why it's described as a ladder. Because you're going, everyone will start with karma yoga. You engage the body. Right? You know, first, I mean, you come in, you wash pots, you clean, you do this and that, you know. The body is engaged because we identify with it, and if we engage the body, we're engaged in Krishna consciousness. Right? And a little bit is there that we're thinking about, you know, it's for Krishna, and then, you know, a couple hours later, oh, this is for Krishna, and a few hours later again, that's for Krishna. But the point is we've been engaged physically in Krishna's service. With time, one becomes purified, because karma always generates jnan and vairag. Right? So one starts to become detached, so one doesn't identify as much, and one has knowledge that one is not. So then the jnana yoga starts becoming more prominent. The body is still engaged in the same activities, but the knowledge of what's going on is more. And then as that becomes more purified, then one is starting to connect it with Krishna, you know, and meditate on doing this for Krishna and Krishna, you know, what would he like. And so that element starts coming in more, right? You know, until one comes to Baba, where that's the platform, is jnana yoga. You understand? And so then it gets to that where the meditation is completely there. Does that make sense? Right? But then there's the point of even all that, if the point is it's just you're trying to please Krishna. That's all. These other elements of what you're using, and it can be used, and we can do this. These are all steps. But we're simply pointing out that the ultimate thing is it can't be the ultimate goal. And we're not really interested. So if you're accepting them on the way, great, but at some point you got to give them up. So why push the point, since that's not the point being made? The point is that liberation is the concept of this world. It can be accommodated in the form of opulence, you know, in the spiritual world, you know, like that. But it also could be a love for the Lord, but it would still be within that environment of servitorship. Right? But the element of Vrindavan it's not even a discussion. Right? If one's having to connect things, but one knows it's, I'm only using this as a step, as a tool. So it's a matter of, it wouldn't be, oh, it can be used for this particular step, and then that's what's given up. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Okay. So that's the point, is that one's not looking for one's own happiness, one's looking for Krishna's. We know by tattva, if Krishna's happy, you'll be happy. But we don't have to keep reminding ourselves of that. Because we're insecure, that we have to keep saying that. You'll be completely happy when Krishna's happy. When you water the root, then the leaves are happy. So it always comes back, will I be happy? You know what I'm saying? There's a problem. Will Krishna protect you? That means we're saying fully surrender, but will Krishna protect you? Right? So basically your first story that comes out is Uttara, going to Krishna. Right? And, you know, like that. And what we discuss is, nobody can really claim they're going to have as much of a problem as her. Right? She's got an atomic weapon going off inside her. Right? And so, you approach the Lord, and He works it out. So, okay, He can take care. You know? So the point is, we're always worried if I give up, because now I'm the controller, that's why I'll be the enjoyer. But if I give up my control, will I enjoy? So you have to show us, no, you're giving up your control, I'm the servant of Krishna, therefore, then if He's in control, that means He'll enjoy. Right? Because who's in control enjoys. So, therefore, if He's in control, but I'm His identified part and parcel, then I'll also enjoy. You know, so the examples of that are the servant of the king enjoys facilities like the king, you know, but the consciousness, he never think he is the king. He'll try to enjoy them separately. You know, so it's always made, you can do but, you know, you can't cross the line. But the point is that beyond that, the element is there is that it's the consciousness that's important. These others are only, can be steps, you know, are, you know, short-term goals in the long-term goal. But unless one sees it in that balance, one can get distracted. That's why it's emphasized so strongly. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a married man. He's a magistrate for the British government. He has 12 kids. So it's not that he doesn't, agree that you can connect all these things to Krishna. But the point is unless you know what the ultimate goal is, you will get distracted by something less. Right? So that's the difficulty is if in order to broaden the range of aspects that are connected to Krishna, we don't emphasize the ultimate goal, then we will introduce more aspects, but we'll see those aspects are not a driving force for obtaining the ultimate goal. Does that make sense? Now, let us say Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a grihastha was living in one of our communities. Do you think he would be involved in the programs and the interactions that are going there? Or would he just be doing his magistrate jaws stuff and, you know, taking care of his family and occasionally whenever he could work it in to his tight schedule, he'd be attending a temple program or associating with, you know, the satsang that's going on. Which do you think he would be? Huh? Yeah, he would be probably setting one of the best examples, if not the best example in our community. Right? That's because the ultimate goal is never clouded by that you can connect things to Krishna. But devotees, that it's okay that I spend some time with the family and actually don't feel disgusted about myself that, you know, I'm happy that I'm with my wife and I got kids and, you know, they love me and I love them and I'm working hard and getting money and I have some facilities, you know, and like that, and I bought insurance, and we go on a vacation, so that I don't feel like I'm a rat bag. I have to say that, well, we're just being practical and all that, but it's not connected to Krishna in the least. But what does that do to the ultimate goal? It's very obvious. If you ask them, yes, but in practical, where is it? You know what I'm saying? It's not. It's slightly covered, because all you have to do is bring one of those devotees to the temple where everybody's enthusiastic, and immediately you see that they're fully absorbed in everything. So it's not, but it's still a covering. It's not ideal, because to reconcile in their own mind the dichotomy of having two distinct opposing lifestyles, they just say, well, it's just practical. So they just work the Krishna consciousness into this, rather than Bhakti Nausthakura is saying, it's not like any more, you work it in the other way. Yeah, they could liberate them as binding them. That's the thing, that's what's covering. So that's why we discuss so much this technical point. So I did get blamed the other day that, you know, I always talk about this stuff, but you know, like that. And they said, you can't win. You know?
This point against the creativity, which you mentioned, I had one selected on that one time when we were speaking about it, because we think Krishna wants to be sensitive enough when it's not what I had in mind, it's not what happened, we don't do it. And this is the first time when they were supposed to do something very interactive. So better not surrender. So he was explaining it to God.
Mm-hmm. No, very good point. Yeah. We all understand? I don't understand. I mean, he's saying, Vivekananda Maharaj is making the point that one of the problems in surrendering to Krishna is that we're worried that Krishna isn't sensitive enough to our attachments. And so if we surrender, he'll expect us to do something that'll be really difficult for us to do that I really won't want to do. And he may not take care of us and all those kind of things. So we don't approach Krishna and say, I want to surrender. Because we're afraid as soon as we do that, he'll take everything away. But the point is things going away happen anyway. You know? It doesn't matter, you know, it's like that. It happens anyway. Yeah, we just wouldn't want it to be... Because we don't know what's happening, therefore it's better than if we knew, well, I surrendered and then it happened, so if I hadn't surrendered, does that mean it wouldn't have happened? You know, so the point is Krishna is the most sensitive, and so he knows what's in the heart, knows what's the best way to engage. Therefore, if he keeps things very nice for you and very comfortable, then that is what's going to be the best for you. But if he takes everything away, that will be what's best for you. You know, so whatever works. The point is if you sincerely want to surrender to Krishna, he's not going to do something that's going to give a problem for that. But if you're not so sincere, then he'll do things to increase your sincerity. Insincerity. You know what I'm saying? If that's what you want, then he'll make it. It's like the point is being made by the acharyas that someone can come to the Dham because they have an offensive attitude, and it's too slow. The amount of offense you can create in the material world is, you know, one offense gives one result. It'll take you forever to go to hell. You know, but if you come to the Dham, one offense gives 1,000 times the result. Hey, you know, really fast, efficient, practical. Right? You know? So Krishna might even arrange, someone comes, he's very offensive, and you know, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just that's what they want. So Krishna fulfills. So if you're getting something and you don't, then you have to look at it. Well, am I sincere? If I am, then it's what's good for me. If I'm not sincere, it's what I deserve. You know? So in any case, it's hard to get around. Yes?
Maharaj, you still talk to us now about Krishna liberation. Are they attained on the platform of bhava?
Are they attained on the platform of bhava? Technically, yes, but I'm not sure how. I mean, just for us, yes, they would be obtained there. But the point is we're not worried about it. That's why these things are made, because see, as we'll look at it as here, they do apply very much here, because these things, bhukti and mukti, will distract us here. But it's not that on the platform of bhukti they still won't have some residue effect. So unless we're completely on the platform that no, here, then you'll still carry that with you on the platform of bhava. Because you're just going from being conditioned to being not conditioned. But your consciousness is still what goes through.
So,
you know what I'm saying?
So in bhava especially, the devotee is trying to get free from mukti.
But also bhukti.
But bhukti is already suffering.
It's like this. As we discussed, the only place where you can see, actually see the spiritual world directly and the material world at the same time is in the spiritual world, in Gokul. In the material world, you can't see the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, you can see both. It's whether the spiritual world is there, but you don't see it connected to Krishna, it's the material world. Because Yogamaya is the same person. So she is the same person here, but unless you follow the devotional process and connect it, then, yes, you are getting the effect of the spiritual world. You may see the spiritual world here. But that means you've made a determination, a Krishna conscious determination to do that. You understand? But if you're in the spiritual, if you're in the spiritual world, but haven't made that decision yet, right? So you can see the spiritual world. But if you don't see it connected to Krishna, everybody else is doing things connected to Krishna. You see it that way, then you'll be absorbed in that, take up that association. Now, if not, you'll look at it and say it's nice. So what material problem is there for a resident of the spiritual world? There's no modes of nature. There's no problem. So therefore, it's the consciousness that you move either into the association of the Nitya Siddhas and move forward to Prema, or you move out of that and end up as Lord Brahma. It's your consciousness. That's why when these things, association of devotees, distributing prasad, you know, assisting others, seeing the non-difference between the Lord and His energies, all these are, we'll just say, okay, these are basic fundamental. Then there's the Raganuga. No, the point is when you get to that platform, there's more devotees in Gokula than there are here. If you're bothered, the temple room is too packed and it's, you know, this and that, then there's more devotees there. You're not going to like it. You know, you get some prasad and you think, well, I'm hungry, I want it for myself and I have to distribute to everybody else and it's only a small bit. If I distribute, no one will be satisfied, but if I eat it myself, at least it will get me through the lunch. So, you're not going to like the spiritual world. Because everybody distributes everything and all that, you'll feel out of place. You know? Does that make sense? You're not willing to assist. You know, you always want to be the boss. You're not willing to assist. That's all we do in the spiritual world is assist. You know, we don't see the non-difference. Then we see is that these devotees are represent that because they're doing that service. So therefore, you know, his question, do we see Radharani? Yes, over there you do. Over here I devote you. You know what I'm saying? So the point is you won't like it there. So that's the thing, is that's why it's cultivated here. And so it's not just beginning stuff. No. What's introduced is that aspect that we can see along with the proper mood. But as you go, what you can see becomes not so important. What you can see is important to us because all that's important to us is what you can see. And what the experience we can get from what we can see. Let's say the perceivable. Here we're saying see meaning through the senses, so it is perceivable. Right? But in the spiritual world, It is how Krishna will be pleased through the proper mood. Does that make sense? So it's taking that other. It's on the other side of Sarva Dharma Parityajya. That's only pointing out the mentality of there. And what was before that is how you're going to get yourself up to that point. So you have to know that ultimately that's the goal. So therefore we'll say is you can connect all these things, but ultimately it's only for the purpose of pure unalloyed devotion. So therefore it shouldn't be rejected by those who are interested in pure unalloyed devotion and therefore can't accommodate a wide range of connecting things to Krishna. Otherwise you have the situation where you'll have this dichotomy between temple or full-time devotees and congregation. You know? There shouldn't be that. Right? At the same time as then you'll get the other thing is that, well, just, you know, the indirect connection or, you know, just occasionally, that's good enough. So you're still getting these two sides. One is impersonal because it can't acknowledge that senses can be engaged in Krishna service. And the other one is karma because the karma is fine. It's great. It's practical. But both, neither of them, it's not karma yoga or jnana yoga. It's just karma and jnana. Right? You know, you say, their house is out there. They're just all in Maya and all that. You know, just absorbed in their money and their family. Who said? What's wrong with that? Why is that wrong? Even if we take it's wrong, okay. What you say is 100% true, but why? Well, because they're enjoying their senses and they have all this money and facility, and they're not connected to Krishna. So if it was connected to Krishna, it'd be fine. Yes, but then they're enjoying this, so even if you agree with that, they'll say yes, but they're enjoying their senses. So what's wrong with that? It means the money's connected, why can't the senses be connected? And they'll do okay, the food, okay, this, that, but the sex, that will never be there. So, you're saying, you always have this problem. So it's gyan. Gyan means I can't acknowledge that the senses can be connected to Krishna. In fact, that's the natural position. Right? Intelligence is the closest thing to the soul, and it governs the senses. So we say body, mind, and words. We're not saying body, mind, and intelligence. That's what we're saying. But the intelligence means it's an application, which means senses. Right? So how you can tell someone's consciousness is by their words. What they do with the body, what they do with their words. Right? So the body may be doing one thing, and it looks good, but you can't tell what they're thinking until they speak. So the words are how you can check what is the mind, what is the consciousness. Does that make sense? Yes. Is there any difference between service to Krishna at home and service to Krishna at the temple? Technically, no. But one has to appreciate that there is a difference. There can be a difference, or no, there is a difference in the aspect of indirect devotional service, where you're taking something that is important to you, but not necessarily to Krishna, and then trying to, through either engagement of the senses, or engagement of the intelligence, connecting it to Krishna. But let us say if you were more advanced, you might not need to be using those. So you'll have more of that in the grihastha life than in the temple life. Does that make sense? So the opportunity for the direct devotional activities will be more in the temple. But it's not that it can't be done at home. Like on the weekend, there's no job. You could be doing more puja and studying and this, or going to the temple. So you can be doing just as much. But the tendency is because you're going to work in this and that, and taking care of the little things around the house. But you're taking care of your house that's connected to Krishna. So if it's seen as Krishna's house, then taking care of it's the same, but then it has to function as the temple does. So it can't have those moments where it's your house. You know what I'm saying? you would be surprised to walk into the kitchen and have the, hetajari, there with a lacks of something, you know, sipping it, you know, leaning on the wall and like that, you know. So what are you doing? Well, you know, just everybody's got to have their moments, you know. And so I just, you know, it's like that, you know. So he's just saying, no, and around here it doesn't happen. So if that happens, yeah, there's no difference. Like that. The point is why Prabhupada would pick the temple as the starting place. Because in the temple, it's obvious, it's all Krishna, it's not yours, you know. And so, not that you don't get attached to your little place in it. You know, I always sit here in Bhagavatam class and I stand there in Kirtan and, you know, I'm, you know, this place in the line for Prasad and, you know, like that. So, but the point is Krishna's, and so it's obvious. And by staying at, you know, how long will it take to train them? Because just saying do this, these rules, doesn't mean that they'll be Krishna conscious. So being in the temple, the focus on the consciousness is the predominant. Because we see, we started with the consciousness, chanting, it's for Krishna. Take prasad, it's all about Krishna, philosophy. So they're dealing with Bhagavat, though they don't hardly know any rules or any like this. As they advance, then you're able to add these pancharatra things. And as they advance, more you're able to, or as they advance, but, you know, become more mature, but the attachments are still there, then you add all the Vedic stuff. Does that make sense? So these elements are there, but you wouldn't be able to start that way. But the temple you can start with, even though it's higher. Just like you can start with chanting Hare Krishna, and later you can introduce Gayatris, even though Hare Krishna is higher. But you need some material qualification. It means, in other words, you have to be pious to follow Varnashram. So the difficulty devotees have with following Varnashram, technically speaking, actually, bottom line is they're not materially pious. Like that. It doesn't mean that they're conscious, their heart's not in the right place, but they just materially are not pious. That's why it doesn't make sense. You go to some, like if right now we went to somebody, and you go to, you know, some country, and they always have some place in their country, or in their, you know, in the major city or area where all their very rich, pious people live. You know, they've been pious for generations. Like that. If we went and explained, other than, you know, no meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, and gambling, that directly, but if we explained the rules of, you know, the regulated life, you know, and different elements in which separating men and women and things, all these considerations and the importance of study and all, they would 100% agree. Basically, they do the same things, just they've actually left Krishna out of it. You know? And then devotees, they hire in the community. What do they want? They want a lifestyle like that. They want to have the big house and all the facilities and all that, like that, but somehow or another Krishna's not involved. So just like them, they're having all their life, and then on Sunday they go to their church, or on Saturday they go. Sometimes they go on Friday. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they're looking at. So in other words, they're trying, but they don't have the material piety, otherwise they'd be doing it. You know what I'm saying? It's those families, they dress in a particular way. They're very sober about their dress. You know, they'll dress fancy at a program, but it's very tasteful. You know, it may be bold, but it's tasteful. It's aesthetic. They're very careful about these things. Everything's planned. You know, they have people. They don't have a problem with people serving prasad. We do. You know what I'm saying? There's all that, I mean, why they should serve and this and that. Everyone can just take. Oh, it's too much trouble or like that. They, when they put stuff on your plate, they don't bang your stuff with it. They don't put it in the wrong place. Yeah, they're made very conscious by their parents that, you know, you pour like this. You don't bump into them. You stand back. You stand straight. You do all these. And they're very careful. But if we say you do this, you don't. Oh, don't be fanatic, Prabhu. What does that mean? Lack of material piety. We'll say, oh, it's because we're attached to this. If you were attached, you'd be chanting all day. You know? Or at least you'd be very expert. I mean, Bhaktivedanta was very expert. He was accepted as, you know, one of the best, if not the best magistrate in the British Inn. He was efficient. He had no backlog cases. And he was strong enough to stand up against the rest of them that, you know, didn't think it was, you know, his example was too good. You know? Does that make sense? So the thing is the realism is we emphasize more that inspiration and devotional service and that. And the rule is simply to create an environment where we will be more connected to Krishna. So in throwing out the rules, that's all right if you increase the consciousness and focus on Krishna. But if you throw out the rules and use it as an opportunity to increase your focus on the material, that is a real misapplication of the term, you know, we chant, we don't care, we're above the, all these things. That's just talk. It's technically we'll say it's devotionist philosophy, but it's not. It's actually, according to Shastra, it's niti. It's what Duryodhana uses. You know? And I mean to use that example. In other words, it's you have something you want, and you will quote dharma, or in our case, devotion, to get done the material thing you want. That's all. That's all it is. But if you, they are devotees, so if you make the point about pure devotion, they'll immediately agree. Because these other things are only a covering. It's not who they are. You know what I'm saying? So that's why, that because they're like that, oh, then they'll be like that, they're finished. No, all you have to do is figure out the way to bring out that thing and get them to be able to deal with that covering. You know what I'm saying? But we're not able to do that. Why? Because we're not able to see the philosophy and have that broad-mindedness. Because you have to be able to simultaneously accept that the situation they're in is fine, but unless they can connect all that situation by consciousness to Krishna, they're going to have problems. Like that. Because generally we take one or the other. They're having problems, so you can't do any of that. Or doing all this is fine. What's the big deal? Don't be fanatic. So this is karma and jnana. So when we're talking about karma and jnana here in bhakti and mukti, we'll say, okay, we've heard that, but what about the higher stuff? No, this is the higher stuff. Devotional service only is higher stuff. There isn't something less. There's nothing in the fundamentals of devotional service that's not happening on the highest stages of Mahabhava. It's non-different. For us, we give this step, you know, systematic, you know, and all this. This is that, but it's. Does that make sense? It's like that. It's just like, you know, you want to walk. Okay, you take this foot, put it in front of there, you know, but don't, you know, put the weight there, you know, before you pick up the next one, you know, and put, you know, so we'll be thinking about all that and stuff like that. But someone who's absorbed, who can walk, is absorbed in something else when they walk. They're not thinking about their walking. But it's still part of the thing. They're still walking. So we'll say, oh, no, but when we get spiritual, we'll stop walking. You know, or all this philosophy. No, they still. Otherwise, who's talking this? Right now, we're listening to a maidservant of Krishna. A 12 and a half year old girl in the spiritual world is writing this stuff that goes over the heads of basically everybody on the planet. That's what's going on. You know? Lord Chaitanya starts to speak Mayavad philosophy. His mother defeats him. You know? And if you need to, you use it. But otherwise, that's not what they're into. Does that make sense? So, they understand this process.
Mm-hmm. destroy them from here, but at the same time, we get close to the potential for recovery.
Main thing is consciousness, because the point that you're trying to gain is consciousness. But so the Vedic is designed to actually increase consciousness, because it's just like I can serve and put it on the plate and touch the plate with a spoon. But to not do that, I need more consciousness. And if I have more consciousness, that's more of an ability to remember that this is Prasad and these are the Lord's devotees. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because even if we want to get all that, just like, let's say, devotees get into... Okay, when they collected all the tirthas, you know, for the 96 program, the Bathe Prabhupada, you know what they did with all those tirthas after they got them? They ran it through a filter. Because no one should get any disease from, you know, these kundas, that, who knows what's there. Of course, according to Shastra, since you do that, all the tirthas will leave. You take Ganga water and run it through a filter, it's not Ganga water anymore. You understand? You take it and run it through, you know, cloth and that, the standard thing to get the dust. That's there, let it settle and all that, and you know, do that process with that. But as soon as you run it through a filter because you feel it will have stuff in it, you might get sick, she leaves. It's just water. You're dealing with Varuna there. You're not dealing with Ganga Devi anymore. Okay? But at the same time as the persons who will make that decision, if you say don't touch the plate, then they'll say, oh, don't worry about it. But when you touch the plate, then that whole thing of germs will go from one plate into the bucket to the next, and you understand? So it's just where they're applying, where science says they're doing that. But what about washing your hands after everything you do? What about washing your mouth, you know, properly after you eat? It's there, so there's nothing on your teeth. Right? Because it's the stuff on your teeth that makes the cavities. So they'll say only by brushing, you know, and you have to use that. No, they're saying just by water you'll get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? So the very things that they're looking for, they're not gaining. They're gaining it by some methods, but only where it's been pointed out to them, only what's popular in culture. You know what I'm saying? That's all. If it's in the news, people are doing it, then they'll say, oh, you have to do this. And then when it moves on, then whatever they got attached to and got comfortable with, then it moves on. You know, like when devotees are talking like, you know, their nutrition things or social things and that, generally they're talking things that are, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years old. Old stuff. You know? It's not... Yeah. So that's the problem is that they're looking for detail. They don't mind detail, but the detail has to come another way. So the point is what they're looking for in that is a principle. The Vedas are simply there to how more efficiently to get that principle, to be conscious. So actually all the material and the spiritual happen. Right? So the first thing is make them aware of the consciousness. Because that, they'll always agree. Because International Society for Krishna Consciousness, no one's trying to be upset, or shouldn't be upset if you're pointing out the thing to make them more conscious. And they don't like the restriction and this because then your control is less, so your opportunity for enjoyment is less. You know what I'm saying? Like if I tell you, you know, serve nicely and serve quickly and move down the line, the person won't like it because they like to stop at each person and get the bucket and look at you and then, you know, get some and then look at you and you kind of like, you know, is that right? And then put it on your plate and then look again and if that's cool and you want some more, okay, I'll get some more. Like this. I'm not over-exaggerating here, you know. Maybe it just, I'm breaking it up and talking in between. But, you know, you're sitting there and, you know, you just, you know, some subji and like that and you got to do this whole thing. It's like, I'm here to eat, not, you know, fill the void of your emotional lack because your parents or your husband or someone else didn't take care of you, you know, for this life or how many lifetimes before. Says, you know, you're serving, so you put on a thank you like that. And afterwards you can say nice service to see that they get served nicely. But they use this whole, you know, so you like that. So they'll feel, oh, I can't get all this. I'm not practiced at it, so I keep hitting the plates. And so then, you know, I won't like that because I'm a together guy. You know, I'm a professional. I'm a lawyer. You know, like this and all that. And I can, you know, I'm a, you know, great, you know, corporate lawyer, and I go in, you know, do billion-dollar deals, but I can't serve a shot. That's going to freak him out. So therefore, then all these things are... I'm talking about someone who's a devotee and became one. If they were already, and that you have no problem. Oh, okay. You understand? So the thing is the control, you know, so therefore the idea of enjoying is something missing there. So the main thing to do is point out the consciousness, because that no one will be upset with. Then from there, then if you can introduce why they're doing some rule, what would make it work more efficiently. In other words, you explain the rule so it pragmatically either gets the work done and gets the consciousness. Like that. So it's basically through education. Generally, we just like to say, this is what you should do, and if they accept it, that's good, and if they don't, then they're in Maya. You know, we don't want to explain, because that takes time, because that's brahminical. That's the mode of goodness. Right? And Western culture is famous for its passion and ignorance. You know what I'm saying? Or if we get into the teaching, then it's just another way of the emotional, oh, this and that. And you don't need to, you know, so it's a matter of, you know, this is the way it is. But at the same time as dealing with the person. Because it's the person who's conscious. And it's the person who is using that consciousness and applying it into their field of activity. Right? Does that make sense? So if you do that and move at the speed that that maintains comfortably. So someone that maybe over 6 months you could show them something, some maybe years. But if you get the consciousness up, then the purification will go on nicely. It's there. You know, so if they're serving Bashad, even though it's not bad, but if they're enthusiastic, then that's the most important thing. If you can tell them something, great. If you can't, better they're enthusiastic, then they think, oh, I shouldn't serve Bashad because I'm not caught, and then they don't, and then where's their advancement? Does that make sense?
Okay, situation is not right. What I realize for myself is that I must be very confused and flexed and cautious of myself to the decay in order to expand.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just a radical and highly different
thing. No. Factually, what we're teaching and you know, how we're going through it is to develop that. It means just that you mentioned it, that would be exactly what we're trying to... That is the purpose of all these courses that we're developing, is that you can apply this in your life, therefore you can help someone else with it. That's why you don't see an emphasis on the memorization or this or that or the other thing. If one can do that, great, that would be very nice. You know, it just means more skills. But unless you can apply this in your life, so it's not just a matter of things and memorizing and moving on. Otherwise, you know, something this big, you know, how many days should it take in the modern academy to go through 80 pages? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it wouldn't take very long. So, yeah, so it's just like that, you know.
You know.
Yeah, at least, you know, there's six things here, we do at least in 6 days or something, unless it's something very big. But point is we're trying to get it where we can apply it in our life. You know, so that's the point. And if you can do that, then it becomes useful to others. Because unless you can figure it out, how you explain it to the other person. Because you can only explain what you can figure out. And you can only figure out what you're conscious of. So we're discussing all these things in this wide range to generate consciousness. That's why when we're discussing these things, when we make a strong point on someone's not following the rules, it's not Vedic and that, that's not the point. They want to follow the Vedic, not, we couldn't care less. That's their personal choice. All we're saying is that it's been given and is recommended because it's more efficient for the lifestyle of the devotee trying to be Krishna conscious and interacting with the material world. People say the material world's changed, but it's exactly the same as it was. It's just more meager. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the point is the fundaments remain. You know, so let's say I'm going to make some garunga potatoes, right? So you're going to take the potatoes, you're going to, you know, boil them and then peel them, or peel them and boil them, and that, and then after that, then I'm going to put all kinds of other things, and I'm going to bake it, and I put this spice and that spice and so many things, and then after baking it, let it sit for a thing, let it get firm, I get all these kinds of like, things like that, right? Now let us say all I have is potatoes, salt, and pepper. You know, okay, throw in a little butter, make it less, you know. I don't want anyone to have nightmares, okay? So, and that's all you have. Now, will you boil the potatoes? So that's the point that we're making, is that Kali Yuga means you don't have all the other stuff, but it doesn't mean the fundamental principles don't remain. The detail may not be as great, but the principle is still the same. It doesn't change. So this idea Kali Yuga is different, it's changed, we can't apply all these Vedic rules. It's just nonsense. Because the fundamentals that all those rules are establishing still remain. So even if a detail can't apply, the fundament that it's based on still does. That will never change. Does that make sense? Is that okay? We understand this? So that's why we recommend it. You know, and that. But it's not that by following Vedic that will make you Krishna conscious. No, it won't. Otherwise, Duryodhana would have been pretty good, a very advanced devotee. He would have had a little bit of problem here and there, but he would have been quite advanced. You know? That's the difficulty. So that's why in this age, Varnashram isn't used as a method of elevation. It's used as a tool within Krishna consciousness, how to see things in connection with Krishna. That's the point. That's why Varnashram has to start from that perspective. But if you start off already, you know, with dirt and cows and mud, dirt, cows and a plow, then, so what's the, how is that connected to Krishna? You know, then it just becomes, it's a pious lifestyle. But it's great as a lifestyle, but the problem is how many people are doing it? How many people directly deal with the cows on a regular basis as part of the service? How many people, and there's even less, dealing with the land? Yeah. A few hundred. We have, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of devotees. And it's not that it's not being taught, it's not opportunities not being given. But, you know, we're urbanites, you know, like it or not. But so the point is that detail of Varnashram, you won't be able to, so it can be applied, the principle can be applied in the city. And they're only taking that, so you need cows, so that means you need land. And then, but, you know, what about everything else? What about the deity worship? You know, what about, you know, samskars and, you know what I'm saying? Just as much as, you know, cows and land, there's also samskars. They're part of human life. You know? Does that make sense? Using dairy products. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the problem isn't that devotees have bad digestions because they ate too much ghee. The problem was is there was not enough chili. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so it's like, it's not a problem, there's too much food, there's not enough work. Right? So, it means how much work, that much food. How much ghee, that much chili. They're not, you know what I'm saying? So it's not that, oh, the Vedic cooking is too difficult to digest and all that. You know, interesting thing I just found out the other day, reading in a 100-year-old cookbook. You have like a stir-fried vegetable, right? You put some ghee, you put some spices, throw in the vegetables, you know, stir them around, fry them a bit, maybe put a lid on it, if you know that aspect, so they get, you know, steamed and fried at the same time. You know, so it'll be more dry and stronger spicing, a little bit richer, right? But now there's a preparation where you steam the vegetables first, then make the chaunts, then throw them in, and then stir it up and just do it until you get the effect you're looking for. Right? That makes sense? So that is what today everyone's saying, well, this is the healthy diet, steamed food and like that. You know, steam. You know what I'm saying? It's already part of the normal diet, just nobody knows it. But the difference is we'll only steam it and put something on it, but there they'll put it and make a proper chaunt. So you get the proper flavors. But it's still just a boiled subject. Does that make sense? You know, and the distinguishing between what is a festival cooking, what is nice regular cooking, and what's daily cooking is also not made. So how we're cooking for the deities is then how we cook for the devotees. But that's festival cooking. Nobody eats festival cooking every day. But then when we do simpler, then it takes on the modern where we just boil it and that's it. Does that make sense? Like that. So this is the difficulty. Prabhupada had in this tiffin. That was what he was showing the devotees. The dal is in the bottom. It boils. That steam from that cooks the rice. The steam keeps going further and steams the sabjis. And he has a little top takes it off, makes a chaunt, pours it in the dal on the sabjis, and then makes his chapatis. So we always call that, well, that's, you know, Indian cooking. But is anybody using that kind, not necessarily that method, but that lighter style of cooking? No, it's either, you know, very heavy or it's Western. You understand? So the thing is the Vedic already includes all these things. It's just, we're not looking. We're only looking at economic. Why do we look at cows and land? One, cows, because Krishna liked cows, so look at that. It makes money. Supposed to make money, but we're not making money, so that's why no one's doing it. Because if it made money, people would be doing it, I'm telling you.
No one's figured it out.
Yeah. I was looking in companies. You know, these economic companies that are registered as a company, as a business. I didn't notice as much. I mean, on the list I noticed. And it was going back old countries. It was going back like to 700 and stuff like that. You know, some soy sauce company in Japan. It means it's the same company, same name, you know, today as it was. That there are farms in America that are still running today, same name. They go back to the 1600s, 1700s. Again, they were established as, you know, the local business. Like that. So it does make money if you know what you're doing. So it makes sense? So all these things that we're mentioning here, they're side things. They're not to be taken as the main. That's why sometimes when we're discussing, we get too much caught on these side things. It's one thing to bring that up, okay, well, how to connect that. But on its own discussion, and then just taking that further and further, isn't actually the point. Does that make sense? Right? Like that. Now, give an example, so further information is given because it's a, you know, transcendental nature of the discussion. So it's ways of applying it. But the point is its application of that transcendental point as opposed to the skill. Does that make sense? Okay. So principles always, that's what we're trying to teach, and we're just using so many examples to establish it. Right? Because Krishna consciousness is the proper attitude. Right? So if that's there, then all the form is proper. You know what I'm saying? So whether, you're any of the eight stations of the Varnashram, it doesn't matter. The attitude's right, it works. It's Krishna conscious. And it's fine. This guy's making tons of money. and this guy has nothing. And it doesn't matter. You know, do you ever read in scripture where a king, a great sage is coming in? You know, he walks in and is, you know, with his blank, his deer skin and his copans, and walks in and tells some, you know, aristocrat or some king that, you know, why do they have all this facility and money and all that? And, you know, this is all Maya. Have you ever seen that? No. Right. Yeah. But you see, getting close to it when their consciousness is mundane. Right? It means Drupad didn't accept Drona because he wasn't wealthy and powerful like him. So he says, you know, where's our equalness? Where's our common? They're common. They went to school together. So they're schoolmates. So that's the common basis of their relationship. And not only that, if he's worried about that, Brahmins are always higher. But he was in a state of he didn't quite catch that at that moment. And then, you know, Drona, you know, fine. Because he's a Brahmin, he can learn anything, teach anything. So since, you know, the martial science is all you respect and power, so therefore he learned the martial science, taught it like that, got some other Kshatriyas to get the kingdom for him. So he had the whole thing. Now they're not equals because he's superior and Drupad has zip. Now I'll give you half of it. Now we're exactly equals. Now you can't complain. Right? So technically, then now they should be the best of friends. But unfortunately, Drona is a Brahmin, so he can move on, and Drupad is a Kshatriya, he can't. So, you understand? So you find when the consciousness drops, you find these different things come up. So all that's happened is there's a proliferation of dropped consciousness. And that's why all these other things seem so prominent. But it's not that it's any different. The material world isn't any different. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we'll say, you know, there should be proper interaction between men and women, right? It shouldn't be too loose and open, dressed properly and all that. And the young people say, oh, you know, you're restricting, you're this, you're that, and all these. And then, as long as at one point they find somebody that they want to spend their life with, then basically you'll see, you know, things will go nicely for them. But if it's really they're comfortable in that situation, are they going to misbehave with others in the community? Are they going to dress badly? Yes or no? I'm just, after they found that person, you know, their soulmate or whatever it is, and all that, are they going to do that anymore? No. So they're going to do what we already talked about. Now, let us take umbrellas have returned. Could have started a new way of raising money, right? Yeah. Every day you come, bring new umbrellas, and we take them and sell them. And then so then, are they wet?
Yeah.
So you'll open them. So then, now let us say they don't find that person. And so they go on for a lot longer. But then, do they ever come a point where they're thinking, I'm doing all this and it's a waste of time? And people are just coming in and, you know, after your, you know, 2,793rd, you know, one night stand, do you ever start to feel exploited? You understand? So all the things we talk about, then they finally realize that's actually what's going on. Does that make sense? So, eventually, it's the Vedic is just how to not waste time and waste your emotions. That's all. That's the idea of it. But if you want to go out there and be crazy, hey, eventually you'll figure it out anyway. But the Vedic idea is you've already figured that out by the time you're, you know, 16 instead of 56. You know, that's all. It's just a matter of, you know, that 40, 50 year lapse, you know, when it comes later, right? Lapse would be the right word. That delay.
Of the essence.
Yeah, so that's all. It's just, but at least you figured it out. So that's why, even if people are figuring it out, you know, now, great. Or, you know, it'll take them another 10, 20, as long as you figure it out, that's good. But the idea is if we're trying to be that contemporary and practical and dynamic and professional, then Vedic is what you're looking for. In actuality, that's all. That's why it's talked about, because it is it connects very well. But the point is as soon as somebody gets into that too much, then they still miss the point. The point is it's not Vedic non-Vedic. No, the Vedic is Krishna conscious or not Krishna conscious. Instead of Krishna conscious, you see everything and engage everything in Krishna's service, since it is Krishna. And it's his service, and why not follow the culture that he likes? If I want to do something nice for somebody, I do it what he likes. You know? Like that. Does that make sense? You know, when you buy someone, of a gift for someone, do you buy it according to what you like or what they like? Right? What they like. So that's the thing. You want to do something nice for them, you do something that you know they like. Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedic is preferred. But the main point is that the mood's right. Because even if you don't have the right facilities or the right thing, if the mood's right, somebody appreciates it. You know what I'm saying? If you go and look in, you know, somebody who is close like that, you know, and has been, and there's a history going back on, you can go in and they'll have some place in a drawer, a box or something, things that aren't materially that great that you've given them or arranged for them and all that. And if, in fact, now you might even be embarrassed. But they have it because to them it was special. Right? Because the mood was right. Right? Does that make sense? That's yes, yes.
The visual devotees, they would say that if you like, you can follow Vedic Prabhupada, he never insisted. You know.
Never insisted. What does they mean, insist, never insisted?
I mean, he gave some basic principles.
Like yes, so then do they follow them? Like cleanliness. Where do you see, what temple of the world, knock me out, where they wash their hands, mouth, and feet after they eat or before they go into the deity room? I know of two that have the facility.
I don't know.
You know, Los Angeles, unless it fell, when it fell down, they like that. And in Hungary. There's no place in the manor to wash your feet. Magic shoes are there, magic shoes, yes, but no place to wash your feet. They don't even bother installing in the showers a tap. So you can't wash your feet. You know?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so my point is did Prabhupada not introduce cleanliness? Did he not introduce washing your hands, mouth, and feet? It means he introduced that. So if they're saying we only follow Prabhupada, great, do it. But don't not do it and then claim that, oh, you know, we don't worry about that. And Prabhupada said it's all right to be dirty, filthy.
I mean, but they would say that, yeah, we follow, but to some
no,
extent.
I would say you're not following. I'm saying it's just, you're just saying that to, because to win an argument and to, so that nobody will bother you, that you can follow the exact lifestyle you were living minus the sinful activities before you join. That's all. Because wherever you go, that's what they're doing. Americans follow that. They don't follow Europeans. Europeans do things they'd never do in America. Right? You know, in Europe, you install a shower. You got two knobs and this, you know, flexible pipe that you can do any whatever you like with it. Right? You go to America, I never even heard of those. Like that. You have two knobs and then you have a thing that comes out of the wall. You know what I'm saying? In Italy, they cook pasta. In America, they cook, you know, whatever they cook. You know what I'm saying? So they're just living the lifestyle they did before joining and then trying to claim that's the point. But the thing is even that is, where's the cleanliness? You know, even if you want to apply it into the Western culture, are they wearing a new pair, are they wearing a clean pair of pants every day? No. They'll wash it when? Once a week. Why? Because that's what their mother did. You know? No, it's because it's malecha. Not because it's practical. Not that it's practical. You know what I'm saying? That's all. So they're saying this, the Prophet didn't, then why is all this stuff in his books? You go ahead and practically it would be hard to find a purport where Prabhupada doesn't mention something about Varnashram. And if that purport didn't, the one before and the one after does.
And it makes the point of human life.
Yeah, human life begins with Varnashram. So, but at the same time, as fifth canto, there's prayers by subhumans. The Kanaras and the and Kim Purushas. And they say, we're forest people. You know, we're not very cultured and all that. But at least they accept that. You know what I'm saying? But they're devotees. Hanuman's a monkey. He's a devotee. Sugriva's a bear. He's a devotee. Not Sugriva. Is it? Jambavan. Yeah. You know, his kids playing with this monster diamond must have been hundreds of carats. You know, because, you know, they're bears. Who cares about a diamond? You know? Honey? No, that's another thing, you know. A kid can't play with the honey. Who cares? Right? Because otherwise, if it was valuable, why would he give it to his little kid to play with? You know what I'm saying? So, but they're devotees. They're great devotees. Pure devotees. So that's the thing, is malechas and yavanas, even in a subhuman state, can be devotees. You know, but human life is a different thing. You can say they're human because they're Krishna conscious. So, yes, by consciousness they're human, but by culture they're not. You know what I'm saying? Like that. You know, and if you're having this discussion of saying this and that, so even if you're having, but they're even within that, they're detailed following their own religion. Before joining. Because generally the ones who will say that, I guarantee, basically guarantee, most, all, will be have been some variety of Protestant. And even that, it won't be a very strict one. But very rare you'd have Catholic, Orthodox, Jew, or even a Muslim say those things. You know? Properly practicing Buddhist, and they wouldn't say that. You know what I'm saying? It's only these more liberal Protestant groups, they would say, because that's the culture. Because we're discussing culture, we're not discussing the philosophy here. It's a cultural thing. What does cleanliness mean? So purity doesn't mean much. Cleanliness means even less. You know, all it is what's acceptable in the Western culture, that you have to do. You can't see, if there's dirt on the jeans, that's bad. But if you can't see the dirt, it doesn't matter how long you've been wearing. If they smell, okay, that's not good either. You know what I'm saying? But that's it. Nobody cares. So it's cultural. They're not discussing philosophy here. It's simply attachment to culture. No one's trained them. No one's told them why. And they feel uncomfortable. It's that simple.
Yeah, but what do we convince them?
As I said to him, you start talking principles. Principles will accept. And as they see how these principles there and explain the life, then slowly, slowly you can do them. And the best thing is on this, like you want to do, like, for example, serving Prashad, you do it. Because when you do it in the proper conscious way, people like it. Then then they get inspired, then they start to help. You know, or even, you know, at the beginning you have to do it yourself, and then once you kind of get some, then you train them, and then you supervise them. And only when they come up and start running it themselves, then you might step back.
Yes.
There's a few things, yeah. Yeah. So it's a narrow view of it. So it's a narrow view even of Western culture. Because in Western culture, like I said, if someone serves you prashad and they serve it right in a systematic way, that's pretty standard. I mean, you know, a proper Western meal, you know, it'll start with a supra salad. Then after that will be the main course. Then there may be some side dish, depending how big it is. Then there'll be a dessert. You know, and they won't even, most of it, put it on, it has different utensils. You know? So, you know, so everything's fanatic. So what is it? You know, this is the International Society for, you know, middle and lower middle class, you know, values, you know, in connection with, you know, I mean, how you say, as a lifestyle, but being Krishna conscious at the same time. It may be a little too big, right? You wouldn't be able to get, you know, it's nicely like ISKCON. We'll have to cut it down a bit. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? So all they're arguing is their attachment for their own lifestyle. Because what they'll argue about in Europe is different than what they'll argue about in America. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like in the Mediterranean and stuff like that. You can still find places where they have Indian toilets, or, you know, the concept of washing after with water after going to the toilet is predominant in a lot of the world. I think billions of people do it. There could be more people that do that than don't do that, at least in what we call Western culture. You know, some guys out in the, Brazilian, you know, in the Amazon up north with their blowguns don't. You know, that's another thing. But there's a good chance they do. You know? So, you know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of defending the particular culture that they're from. You know? And then in high-class culture, they have this thing, I don't know, is it a bidet or something like that? This other thing that looks like a toilet, but it's not a toilet. It's actually meant for washing yourself after using the toilet. Yeah, but it's common amongst those who consider themselves more aristocratic. But it's, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So there are elements that we do that even go on today or not long ago would just disappear. You know what I'm saying? So the problem comes down to lack of faith in authority. So they're only using Prabhupada here to so that they don't have to do what they don't want to do. But if you point out the Prabhupada says here, oh, they'll say, well, we're just being practical, or we can't do, you know, like that. So the point is they only want to do what they want to do. That's all. And so it's not a matter of, so if you want to convince them, you have to discuss the principles and you have to do it yourself. If you don't have an opportunity for either of those, then don't bother. You follow it. No one else is going to bother you. They think you're weird. Wash your feet in the sink. Okay, you know. But, you know, hey, it happens. Oh, there it is. Right? Yeah. On those things, what you do is you get it and hit it from the other side. Eyeball. The bee's on one side. From the bottom, you hit it. That way you don't hit them. Right? Now, I'm just saying, it's just how you can hit. Because if you do it slowly this way, then they'll just kind of crawl on your finger. You know, then defeat your purpose. Or you take the cloth, you know, it's loose and they're there, and then you just go like that. Yeah. Okay?
I mean, it's a long discussion.
It is a long discussion, but technically, keep it to the points, because in my mind, this long discussion was the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. And after the first six chapters, those who had been through it never asked those questions again. So this is symptomatic that you weren't here for the classes, either that or after that.
I was here for this.
Yeah, but the thing is they stopped, I noticed. You know, so we're starting again, so it's, you know, like that. But the point is it's not supposed to be the long discussion. We're trying to get into seeing what's the, you know, in other words, this is the fundament. We're supposed to connect all these different things together. You know, being able to see how in karma and then in jnana and then in, you know, advanced devotional service and prema, all these things are, where's the connection? Like that. But, if it's not understood, ask the question in any way, but try to get to the principle. Because if you catch the principle, you can apply it into the situations. Because they didn't accept in this one, but it's another thing. The point is cleanliness is the discussion there. Or prasad and bhoga. That's all. You know, Krishna doesn't like to eat things that he's already eaten. Would you? Like, I gave you something, you ate half the sandwich, and then, you know, 3 hours later you said, I'm hungry, and I bring you the other half of the sandwich. Would you like that? Or if I took that sandwich and, put it in with something else that hadn't been cooked. And then when it's time to cook, I get out that other sandwich, move aside the sandwich, and then, you know, then cook it. Would you be happy with that? So that's why Krishna doesn't like bhoga and prasad to be mixed. That's all. It's that simple. Prabhupada said, keep two refrigerators. Right? So, how many houses here are built with the facility for two refrigerators? Huh? Okay, that's because the specific devotee made it that way. But who made all the apartments here? Who designed them? Who's living in them? Okay, so this is my point. Is these fundaments aren't being followed. These aren't like high-end details. You know, being able to tell the difference that you think I'm advanced in devotional service, you know, that actually is the subtle form of impersonalism that will stop you on the platform of Bhava Bhakti. Or that I am the guru of devotees. That's, you know, what's going to stop you. It's also a Mayavad principle, but instead of thinking you're Krishna, you think you're Radharani on the platform of Bhava. It's going to get you there. You won't notice it here. So how are we going to get to that stuff when, you know, we're fighting over whether we should wash our feet after going to the toilet or not? We can't tell, I'm dirty. Toilets are dirty. I walked into this dirty room. I'm dirty. You know? As I said, you know, the cultured families, they'll wash twice. One in the bathroom, so you can come out of the bathroom, and then outside the bathroom, because that's considered cleaner. Because the bathroom water is not considered good enough to walk in the rest of the house.
And another thing, they always build the bath with the toilet.
Yeah, that's also.
Like I went to a Jagannathpuri in the room by the Gogama. Toilet is on one side, the bath on the other side.
Yeah.
You have a attached bathroom, means you have two.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's there. But these kind of things, we don't work it out. We don't worry about it. You know? These are basic cultural things. We say, you know, the men and women aren't always mixed. Right? Means they can be together if they want to be together, but they can be separate if they need to be. Right? But do you see that in the way we built our houses? Let us say the husband has his friend over and they're talking something. Can his wife come out of the bedroom, go into the kitchen or bathroom, and go back into her room without being seen? Why? Because she doesn't want to be seen. Can she do that? No, because we use the American designs where you have the living room, everything off of that. The older designs where you had, you know, hallways and off different things and they were connected so you could live with, you could live without everything's public. You know what I'm saying? It's standard stuff before. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can't walk into an older established house and immediately see the women. But if it was a program where, They were involved. The women come out, you can see them. But that's my point. We design the houses. We don't care. These are fundamental things. So we say, oh, we only follow Prabhupada. I'll say, philosophically, yes. Culturally, very little.
Because in the West, we think it's oppression if we don't see the women.
Everyone wants to look at women. And women like to be looked at. But when they don't want to be looked at, neither do they want to be looked at, and neither does anybody want to look at them either. It goes both ways. You know, when a woman doesn't want to be looked at means you don't want to be looking at her either. So why can't these things be understood? You know, the guy has a place he can go, because sometimes the woman wants to sit in the living room and hang out with her friends or do something and not be involved with the men. So where does the man go? Before they had a study or the den.
Garage.
Yeah, well now, yeah, at best you get the garage these days. Of course you have the doghouse out there. But in a sense, so these are standard things before. It was just culturally understood. You know, men and women are together when they're in the mood to be together. You know, and we'll say in the mood of youthfulness, oh, they always want to be together. But that's called youthfulness before marriage. You know? Even if they're married when they're young, they still, you know, have their things that they do separately. So it's an issue of people who don't want to get old. You know, they think they're young. It's not practical. The point is the Vedic deals with all this. Anything that anyone's looking for on any ism, you know, from a non-Vedic perspective, is already covered perfectly in the Vedic. Like that. In public, the chatter either goes around your waist, on your shoulders, or on your neck. I see. Okay. Then you take the top, put the chatter down, take the top of the dhoti. No, it means there's the folds there, right? You see folds? Not that end, that's the bottom. Where's the top of the folds? Yeah, pull that out. Right? Now take that corner. Pull it. Right. Now take it and put it over that shoulder and pull it around your neck this way.
Neck?
Yeah, like that. I mean, you do it nicely, but that's standard. So that's how, even with a dhoti, you can be dressed. Standard. You see pujaris in Bengal do it all the time. Okay. Okay, so this is one of those. We only got through a half page.
Yeah.
But you understand is that the principle has to be accepted, so that you are saying, no, but there's so many ways, it's just one principle. So try to take that and contemplate it. If that doesn't come, then you ask again. But all the feelings that don't use that, this is a forum to just let them all go out as long as that, because otherwise we got through half a page today. Because technically we're dealing with issues. Right? Maybe someone else's issues and we don't have to feel it. But the point is it's still the same principle. Right? Prabhupada's given all these things. Why? Where did devotees hear about Achman? Where is the concept that you would clean yourself after going to the toilet come from? More than washing your hands. Where did these come from? Yeah, so it means anything to do with the Vedic culture came from Prabhupada. Now, do you think Prabhupada, being a practical person, would explain all this, then you're not supposed to use it. You understand? Because, I don't know, so we did it here? Oh, no, this is another forum. Yeah, he showed how to wash a floor. You know, we'll at best get down, you know, and wring the rag out, wipe it once, you know, in the same bucket. He had is you take the cloth, go in, make it wet, wipe the whole floor, or at least the section you're going to do, with the water, wet, quite wet. like that. It leaves water on the floor. You know, if there's some dirt, you scrub it like this and that. Then you go back, you rinse it, then you wring your rag, and then you pick that water up, because that water's already washed the dirt off. Otherwise, you just wipe, you're just smearing it, technically. So that means it's double wipe. Some devotees know this. Prabhupada showed like this. Right? Prabhupada showed how to, you know, clean, I think, a Persian rug. You sweep it. It's got hairs, and they go in one direction. So you sweep with the, like this, you sweep this way. Not this way, this way. Because this brushes it out, this way it dries it in. You understand? So he's shown stuff like this. You know, we were cleaning brass, the deity's brass in Bombay with brass soap. Right? Prabhupada came along and said, no, you use tamarind and salt. So he shows these things. He showed how to cook. He showed how to wash pots. Tamarind. You know, there's a brass of smells. But you go to temples, you know, how many use tamarind and salt? Very few. You know, so I'm saying, stuff that Prabhupada showed, they say, oh, we only do what Prabhupada did. So I don't buy it. Bhakti Trumaj cooks like Prabhupada taught. You know, a few others. Korma is worried about, you know, certain recipes, and a few others, no. Most wouldn't have a clue. And worse, don't care.
If we want to know more about what Prabhupada talks about culture and how to behave and how to do things practically, where would we go?
I mean, basically you have books.
Yeah.
And sometimes in Lilamrita things will be mentioned, okay. But you have to observe them yourself. And then whenever you hear of them, then take them.
A lot of these things you would find.
They were taught personally to the senior devotees, so unless someone talks about it now, then, you know, brings it up, then. Yeah. But it's the same thing that goes on, generally speaking, in your cultured families in India. Generally speaking. But some of the detail of how he would do things is even more than.
And also, what some people don't know is Prabhupada was also introducing the culture incrementally
means step by step.
Because people were not ready for the full thing, where he was always bringing.
Yeah. Well, he would teach as it comes up. He would teach as it comes up. So, as things expand, there's a new area, so it comes up. So, it just. And the idea is that you teach one person, he'll tell everybody else, and then it'll spread. It's like the cooking at one point. Anywhere you went, the cooking was the same. Everybody cooked in that style. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki. Jainatai Gaurav Premanandi.